Cameras are rolling and sound is rolling, so it's up to you guys.
Okay, I'm just sending myself something.
I'll start like this. Bonjour, je m'appelle Ali. Je suis Libanais. J'adore savon de Liban, not savon de Marseille.
Okay.
Mine is always on silent.
Mine's always on silent too. That's why I miss calls. All right.
Yalla.
Mr. Ali.
Mr. Ram.
Bienvenido a Miami.
I also speak Spanish.
Welcome to Miami.
Thank you.
Here, we're going to do this a couple times.
Thank you, hermano.
Yes. So, today... Hold on. I am so pleased to welcome a friend, a colleague, a client. His name is Ali Hankir. He is the CEO of House of Soap, also known as Bet El Sabon and Safi Cosmetics, the largest bath and body soap, cosmetic, and beauty company in the Middle East with over 50 locations. His father and his mother started the company, and now he is at the helm. I am so honored to have you here from Lebanon and Dubai and the Middle East in Miami. He joined us for my birthday. It was an amazing time. Yeah. And we are preparing the launch of houseofsoap.com in the United States as we also go to market in the Middle East. And I'm just so happy to have you here. And I wanted to, you know, welcome you with open arms. I hope you had a good trip so far.
Thank you very much. First of all, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Mr. 34 years old. Ramzi and Do Media have been ripping it off. It's actually very funny how me and Ramzi met. It was the last day, last 2 hours on our trade show in Miami. And just randomly, Ramzi walking with his laptop and his shorts. He comes in, he pops into the booth. He sees, I think he's like House of Soap Lebanon. He's the Lebanese flag or something. And he just comes. So he starts talking, Do Media, Inc. 5000. We build websites, we run ads and this and this. And I was sitting back and then I see this guy and like just instantaneously, I got this first impression, you know, there's something special about this guy. And you'll never find a second Ramzi anywhere around the world, to be honest with you. He's my older hermano, my older brother.
He speaks Spanish now.
Yeah, I speak Spanish now. It's Miami slang.
Yeah.
And that's how we actually met.
Yeah, it was recently. It was like a less
in January.
Yeah.
Six months ago.
Well, I guess almost 8 months ago now.
8 months ago, yeah.
But yeah, I was enamored by the smell really of the product because it's so pungent. As you can see, we have, you know, a variety of the products here that are left. But there's a variety of products, and literally the booth was slammed. Like everyone was there. Like the booths around it were like empty, and this booth was just like popping. It was exciting. There was energy there. You know, everyone wanted to try the product, which is an amazing, you know, sample process. But then I got to learn about the story and how your father and your mother started it and your grandma and just the legacy and the tradition. And I was, you know, taken aback because Ana Urdani, I'm a Jordanian American entrepreneur. My parents immigrated here, and you know, Lebanon and the culture is very close to us. And so I took it to heart, and I really wanted to be a part of this story and this legacy and tradition. So we found ourselves here, very close to launching a brand new website that has been several months in the making. That we're both, I think, really excited about.
We really are, yeah.
And yeah, I just wanted to kind of be here and, you know, our audience is a lot of entrepreneurs, you know, people that are aspiring to scale and grow companies. And we are just excited to be able to represent you guys, both in the Middle East and the United States, eventually Latin America, wherever the globe takes us. And so I guess with that being said, Ali, I would love for you to just talk a bit about the origin story of, you know, Bayt al-Sabun and Safi Cosmetics, and how it started and really, you know, that.
So the story behind it all goes back to 2007. My mom used to work as a makeup artist for a cosmetics department store back in Kuwait. And my dad used to be in nothing related to beauty and cosmetics. He used to like work contracting and stuff like that. My dad decided he wanted to open something for my mom, for her own thing. It all started off with this franchising a Lebanese soap brand from Lebanon and bringing it to Kuwait back in 2006, 2007. And then so they managed to get that brand, and this brand is not House of Soap. And they started selling this brand in exhibitions. This one perfumery exhibition in Kuwait, they do this exhibition twice in a year. And they started just, you know, from having a pop-up in the exhibition. And then it went so well. And then they decided to take things to the next level and open a store in one of the biggest malls in Kuwait. And in the region back home, Avenues Mall. And they decided that they took the store, picked the location, they got the brand approved, design, fit out for the store, was all made and ready and done. And they got to a point where with the existing brand, the franchisee brand, they came to a disagreement. We were performing very well with that brand, and it kind of got to a point where they wanted profit sharing to a certain extent. My mom instantaneously said, "I'll just go to Lebanon, I'll find a factory," and they already signed the lease on the store. The store was due to open in like 3-4 months.
Wow.
And so we paid the money deposit for the store, got the store, started fit out. And then we went to Lebanon, got a factory. The first, probably we started off with like 40 or 50 SKUs. It wasn't that big back then. And we had to somehow convince them all that, hey, we're just going to change the name of the brand halfway through construction. And then,
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And then so my mom called it House of Soap Lebanon. My mom, I mean, like my whole family, like I'm in love with Lebanon. I love Lebanon. We just Lebanon all the way. And so my mom decided to call it Bayt al-Sabun al-Libnani, which is in translation, House of Soap Lebanon. She really loves Lebanon and the old house, the old rock houses that we have in Lebanon. And she kind of added that Lebanese heritage and architecture. And she said, we'll add that, and we'll add what we as Lebanese people, and not just Lebanese people, but in the Levant area, very famously known for our, you know, natural handmade soaps, which date back to hundreds of years back. And then from there, I guess, you know, they opened the first store. Bayt al-Sabun al-Libnani, it was in, if I remember correctly, 2008 in November. At that time, I was 7 years old. My younger brother Khalid was around 6 years old. I remember the opening of the store. The parts which I remember was, for some reason, me and my brother were fighting. And we were running down in the halls of the malls, just screaming and shouting and crying for some reason. I mean, we were like 7 and 5 years old at the time. And I still remember it. And probably the first think, you know, the first thing, you know, as a family, it's a family brand, family business. Probably the first thing me and my brother used to do was during the exhibitions, our parents would give us these brochures with, you know, back then it was brochures. We didn't have media and no media and all of that back then. So me and my brother would just take the brochures, walk and randomly give flyers and brochures to people. And then like try to get them to our booth in the exhibition.
Right, you started early.
Yeah.
You were hustling early.
Yes, yes. It's in our family, you know. My dad started working very young as well, I guess like 16 years old. He started off with working with his dad, which is my grandfather. And he started off with tires. And batteries. My grandfather owned a shop, and my dad, when he was younger, when he first started off, he would actually change tires and change the battery. So he'd go under the car, you know, for the old cars, the batteries were for some reason down, not in the hood. Change batteries, change tires, and I always used to remember this. My dad used to tell me this: is that the beauty industry and the cosmetic industry is a very nice one.
Right.
It's very clean, very fresh, you know. It's all about, you know, selling. The majority of our clients are women and being around women and it's beautiful, you know, the fragrances, the different creams and these different things that we, you know, that we use throughout our daily lives to make us feel better, look better and smell better all over.
That's awesome.
No.
And would you say it's like rooted in family? Like your whole company is your family's like tradition and you know, formulas,
yeah,
essentially.
Yeah. So House of Soap's logo is my mom's grandmother. Her name, right. They used to call her in Arabic Ski, or in translation, they used to call her Zakia. Zakia in translation to English means smart woman. In other words, and back then they used to always give names, and it's part of like Arabic culture how they give names that, you know, that kind of symbolize who that person is. And my mom used to look up to her grandmother, which back in the days she was very, she was known to be a very strong entrepreneur woman back then. And this is like in the like 60s, 70s,
wow,
in a village that's a week ride via donkey from Beirut. Yeah, right. And it was actually, the village is closer to, and shout out to Shuba and everyone from Shuba. My mom's village is like Shuba. It's, we all love it. It's probably one of the best villages, you know. We love all of Lebanon, but you know, Sheba has this something very special to it. And it was, back in the day, it was probably closer to Damascus from Beirut. Life was hard, you know, for a woman back then. Being in my mom's grandmother, being an entrepreneur, and she was actually very famously known for making her own soaps and selling them. And then that's where the whole soap story started from. It started from my mom's grandmother, passed down to my grandmother, and then my mom, with the whole soap making. And it all started with, I mean, soaps. And then it took off from not just soaps, took off from soaps until today. We have around 37 different categories. So we have 37 different variety of products, whether be it shampoo, whether be it, so we have six different type of soaps, whether be it a lotion, a cream, lip balm, scrub, you name it, we have it almost.
What about this one?
This is the world's best body sugar scrub. I mean, I don't like to claim anything. I like, you know, people to talk about the products. And I mean, we wouldn't have been very successful where we are today without just the simple quality of our products. I mean, you know, We have the we I really be, I really do believe we have the world's best body sugar scrubs, and we have so we have sugar crystals in them, and just the and what differentiates us from other body sugar scrubs is the vast amount of natural oils we use, and in them, and this is adding on to my the whole philosophy behind the brand. And my mom is actually. My mom actually creates all of these products. So she picks the fragrances. She decides on, you know, viscosity. She wants it like this. She wants it. She does the colors. She does everything brand related from A to Z. And this one beautiful thing about my mom, is she always says it, anything I do and I produce, and I want to sell to people is something I want to use on my children. I she it's in translation in Arabic it's called she تشتغل in بأمانة وبمصداقية. And she really she just works she does it for the love of people, and she really
Wait,
does it.
your mom says, any say that again?
She does it
Yeah.
for the love of people. And I wonder if she comes here, we should do this again with my mom
100%.
for sure.
Yeah. Or maybe there.
For sure.
That'd
There, yes, in
be
Lebanon in
fun.
October.
That'd be
In
awesome.
Lebanon, yeah.
Yeah.
And she always, you know, I'm doing this and I'm selling it, not because money doesn't mean anything to her. She just wants to sell it to benefit and you know. To benefit people around her. She just loves people. She's a social butterfly, loves always being around people. And she's a very caring person, and she just wants to give people the best thing. And then at one point, my dad, Allah yarhamu, he used to always kind of argue with my mom back and forth. For example, this is a prime example. This is probably we're very famously known for our black tea tanning oil right here, if you guys can see it. And I remember specifically for this when my mom launched this in like around 2018. And when my mom launched it, so my mom handles everything brand related and everything not brand related that was usually handled by my dad. So when my mom created it, when the formulation costs came to my dad, he's like, "Well, no way. What, like, we're not gonna make any money off of this. Like, this is too expensive, and I mean, it's not profitable." And she told him no, and they would always argue. Like, they always get to these arguments. No, I want this, and I know it is expensive, and it's worth it, and it's and it, and she said it's nothing like available anywhere in the market. And this is actually one of our top selling seasonal products in summer, and black tea tanning oil. Like, would have ever thought you can make tanning oil out of black tea? And it's just mutually inexclusive.
So your mom like never wants to compromise on the quality and the efficacy of the
Never,
product.
never, never, never,
So
never.
she said you wouldn't even do that, you know, like if I'm not putting this on my children or myself for that matter, then why would I sell it to the masses?
Because she cares about that. She cares to give back to people. And as much as I talk about her, you know, as soon as you meet her, and actually we wrapped up the English version of her brand story, and maybe I'll read it out to you. And this is the brand story that, you know, she founded and co-founded with my dad, and she wrote down from her heart, yani.
Yeah.
She just really cared. Like, she just loves people and is very nice. Like, she's just nice.
That's amazing. Like most amazing entrepreneurs that I get the blessing to meet and talk to and learn from, and help in various capacities, you know, don't do it for money. We do it to make an impact. Like
Yeah.
one of my ethos as an entrepreneur and a human being fundamentally is I want to touch 100 million people. And I believe through these types of stories and these empowerments of prolific brands, and companies that between the companies and the consumers and the businesses and the employees and kind of the whole ecosystem around it, that I would be able to like achieve that.
Mm.
And so is that important to you as well?
Nothing goes big and without you doing it for the love of it and for the passion of it. I mean, she loves doing her job. She loves beauty product. Like nobody, like for example, Steve Jobs. I don't think the guy did it for his money, for the money. No big entrepreneur, like, or the Canes guy. Like he called Canes after his dog, his golden retriever. And the guy probably just loved, you know, he loved chicken, you know,
yeah,
fried chicken, and he loved food probably. And he really like just did it for the love of it. Not for the money, not probably for the success and, oh, I did this and the whole, you know, the success story comes just as an additive, you know,
as later a byproduct. On.
Yeah, it's a byproduct.
A byproduct is money.
Yeah. And
success.
What's
and whatever that definition is to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And it really comes from within. She just wanted to make, she loves making products. She loves makeup. She loves fragrances. She loves, you know, putting on her night cream. She just loves all of that. And she wants to share all of that with anyone and everyone.
That's so awesome. What have you learned as a CEO from your family? And like, what have you like evolved and like matured and from that perspective? Because it's like, you're like a new brain. You're also fairly young.
Yeah.
So
I look old because of, my mom, you know, my life starts with A and it ends with a Z. My initials are Ali Hankir, so A-H. And then the reason why my life starts with A and Z is it's my mom's called Awsaf. It starts with A with Awsaf, and my dad's called Zahir, and my life ends with Z, Zahir. And my brother's somewhere in between, of course. So my whole life is them. Who I am today, everything I am, is because of them. And both of them were polar opposites, and just because of them not being exactly the same, when they both come in together, and I mean, starting a family business from zero is probably one of the toughest things to do. I mean, you know, you have family businesses that are, you know, inherited from generation to generation, but starting it from scratch and maintaining a family life at the same time separately is probably one of the most difficult things that, you know, you can pull through together as a family. And I mean, I really don't know how they did it, but they did it pretty well. And both of them being, you know, exact opposites of each other is what made them complete. Both of them would always be lost without the other. And they would always get into in these arguments and because of these arguments, this is what we have today. House of soap and all of these different products and the success story behind them all. And so bringing them both in together, you know, they're like I'm telling you, they're total opposites. My mom just focuses on the brand, doesn't care how much she spends, just cares about the product, right, making the brand look as nice as possible. And then my dad, you know, being the exact opposite from a management perspective and, you know, keeping things running and paying bills and, you know, meeting, you know, making everything work together. And it was pretty hard. And I'm grateful to have seen that and grow up with that. I mean, me and my brother grew up with the brand, you know, like first store at 8 years old. I mean, so we were like, since day one, we were there since day one. And then learning from them both, you know, and just seeing them both and how everyone's good in their own thing. And you know how like it's always like oh, this son is, he looks like his mom, but like he's actually like his daddy. This one looks like the other one. So, I mean, I think I'm very grateful. I have like the good stuff from both my parents, I feel like I'm just, one product of two different products.
Nice.
That's just me.
That's typically how it happens.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, this is how I have the capability, to be honest, to manage this, to manage everything. I mean, previously it used to be managed by my mom and my dad, as heading the whole thing. And now, with my mom kind of slowly like getting into retirement, and she still manages the lab, but she's kind of pulled her, pulled back.
And where is the lab?
The lab's actually in Lebanon. It's in, and the factory,
Pop it up right here.
yeah. So it's in Lebanon. We're actually from Saida, which is the start, like this, the starting city of the south of Lebanon. And I love Saida as much as I love Sheba. My mom's from Sheba, and my dad's from the coastal city. It's called Saida, or in back in the day, it used to be called Saidun. And in fact, my dad, so like he had to open it in his,
Village,
in his other, it's not a village,
town,
it's a small city, yeah,
Saida.
Saida, and
Yeah,
he had to open it
it's
there.
beautiful.
It is beautiful, yeah, but not as much as Sheba. I
Yeah,
mean, yeah, beach.
honestly, Lebanon is
It
beautiful.
is.
The Middle East in general is a
It
beautiful
is. Yeah,
place.
it is. And talking about the Middle East, I mean, one of my big goals, to be honest with you, is, we all know the Middle East, previously from, whatever is being portrayed on the news or like now
Right.
on so different social platforms. But I want to take this brand, House of Soap Lebanon, and it doesn't represent only Lebanon.
Right.
It represents our neighboring countries, either from, our Levant countries, and the entire Middle East. Us as, let me say, all of us being, we can consider ourselves all Arabs. We do not have this one big brand that is international in every market and dominating competition and just being there and doing, being the best. I mean, we don't have that. We probably like, we have like, let me say, like Salt, like as a restaurant chain, but do we have an Arabic brand that started in the Middle East, whether it be Kuwait, Dubai, KSA, any country, and then went international,
Global.
global, like
Yeah.
all over, like from Asia to like to the States to South America, like all over. We really don't have that. And I would love to see, I mean, the majority of big brands are either, European, whether it be French, British brands or American brands. And then, those are like probably 90% of all of the, fast food chains, the F&B chains,
Right.
the big department stores like Macy's, the big
Yeah.
brands like LVMH Group, just all of those. And then, do you know any big brand from the Middle East that you use or you're a client of? No.
Unless it's maybe from an influencer and it's fairly newer, no. But still, on the macro scale, no, not even close, I don't think, no.
Yeah. So,
I'm genuinely trying to
yeah,
think right now.
I'm telling
I can't like nothing's coming to
you.
mind.
Yeah. I'm t so having that as a goal,
That's amazing.
we want to have, yeah, we want to have a store called House of Soap Lebanon in every corner of the earth, yani. Yeah.
That's incredible. So I guess let's go down that now that we kind of went through the origin and talked about the family and how it's rooted in the formulas and the brand and the ethos and why we're sitting here together is to disseminate that to you watching this. And that's the goal from the Middle East to North America to Latin America to the United Kingdom to wherever he wants to go. And the team wants to go, we will be there to support. And I truly believe the product is elite. It's a superior product. I didn't mention this, but like I use it in my daily life. My family uses it. Our close friend group uses it. The health and wellness community that we've kind of beta sampled it into in America is obsessed with it. Like, I think it's just a natural, it's a natural product that has a story that is just comprised of like superior ingredients. And I think that's truly why you've been successful. And so with that success, like just briefly walk me through, like how the hell do you get to 50 stores in the Middle East? Like, and is there another, we don't have to talk about the other brand, but like, how do you get to 50 stores in the Middle East, and what countries are you in, and what are your plans beyond that? And like, you talked about the first store, but 1 to 50 is vast. And how long did that take?
So we've been around for 15 years with 50 stores. It all started off in Kuwait. Shout out to Kuwait. I was born in Kuwait. I was raised in Kuwait. I love Kuwait. Kuwait's my second home after Lebanon. You know, Kuwait means so much to me. The story behind how we ended up in Kuwait, my grandfather first visited Kuwait back in the 50s. And when he visited Kuwait, there wasn't air conditioning. So it was, he lived in Kuwait without air conditioning. And I think it was probably fans back then. I don't know. And then so us as a, you know, third generation living in Kuwait, you know, Kuwait's where it all started. Without Kuwait, you know, none of this would have happened. And actually, in fact, a lot of our clients and everybody thinks it's a Kuwaiti brand. It's called House of Soap Lebanon. But, you know, if you were to ask anybody, oh yeah, Bayt al-Sabun Lebanani, that Kuwaiti brand. So they all think it's a Kuwaiti brand. Hmm. And
you have your largest concentration of stores there
in Kuwait, right? Yes, in Kuwait.
How many
in Kuwait? I would say around 25 off the top of my head. So like, yeah, half of the stores are in Kuwait. Our first store opened in Kuwait. Like I said, the majority of our stores were in Kuwait. And then so we're in Kuwait, and then in 2017 we opened our first store in the UAE. And then in the UAE, we have around 12 stores.
Just scattered?
Scattered around.
Yeah, right?
All over the UAE.
Where?
I mean, we are in the best malls in the region, whether it be Dubai Mall, Avenues Mall, Kuwait. Shout out to Al Shire Group. Al Shire Group's like... Mm-hmm. They're everything in the region. And then we have actually six locations in Avenues Mall, which is, it is the biggest, it's the biggest, longest, you know, it's just one strip mall, four phases.
It's wild.
It's like wild.
Six stores in the one,
six stores in the one in this mall. One mall.
It's a big mall.
It's a very big mall. Very big
six
mall.
Six stores strategically. Six.
Yeah.
Did you launch them at different times?
No. Our first store opened in Avenues, in phase two. And then our second one opened in the phase three extension in the old souk. And then we opened a third one in the phase two souk. I mean, and there's four phases to the mall. So it's a pretty big mall.
It's incredible.
It's like, yeah, like you, if you want to walk on from one end to the other end of the mall, it's like it's a good like 25-30 minute walk.
Wow.
Just one end to the other end of the mall. It's that big of
and
a mall.
Are the stores are they similar in vibe and aesthetic and build out?
So from a build out perspective, the first store my mom, you know, worked on 100%, gave it her all. It was
Allah,
inspired.
He put that up here right here when he's talking. Post.
It's inspired from, you know, it's called House of Soap Lebanon. So it's all about a Lebanese house, which is in a mall. And you kind of like, don't you usually see that? And when you usually pass by like a mall, the majority of the stores look alike, you know. You know, they just, all kind of look alike. And when you pass our store,
especially like the front, right? The front cap.
When you pass by our store, the walls of the store are actual rocks from Zahli, Lebanon, if I'm not mistaken. So they're actual rocks from Lebanon, shipped from Lebanon all the way to Kuwait and installed in the store. We use a lot of natural materials from a mood board perspective. So the Lebanese rock is essential. And then the shelves we use are wood. And then part of, you know, that natural and aesthetic look, we give it to it. And at the same time, it's not just a store you're going in and you're buying products. It's an experiential thing.
Mm.
And how I like to say it is that it's a Lebanon outside of Lebanon. And then, you know, Lebanese people, we're like 5-6 million Lebanese people in Lebanon. And we're like 20-30 million plus Lebanese scattered all over the world, whether it be,
right,
you know, Lebanese Australians or in Brazil, or, I mean, anywhere you go, there's going to be a Lebanese person. And we rely so much on the Lebanese community scattered across, you know, different countries around the world. I mean, and it starts with, you know, it starts with the Lebanese people. Oh, Bayt al-Sabun, then like what? Like we usually see, you know, a Lebanese restaurant, you know, Lebanese cuisine, or like Cedars of Lebanon,
right,
from a, you know, a restaurant. And then, you know, anybody, you ask anybody, Lebanon, like, oh yeah, you guys, Lebanese food. Yeah, you guys have very good food. So we kind of want to add on to that. Yeah, Lebanon. And oh, you guys have that very good Lebanese soap. And when you pass by it, you really feel like, whether, you know, you've visited Lebanon or you haven't,
it's been nostalgic. You feel it.
You're in Lebanon. Yeah. You're in Lebanon. As soon as you walk in, you're walking in, it's like 11 in the morning. The music playing is Fayrouz or Sabah. Like, you just get into that mood. You're in Lebanon and you're surrounded with these rocks and it's wood. And actually, some of our new fit out, our sinks are actual rocks, like literal rocks.
The sinks.
Like, it's an actual rock. Yeah. And, you know, they just push a scoop and it's a sink rock. And for example, also down to the smallest details, the sinks we use are nhas, which is copper.
Mm-hmm.
Which is copper, you know, those old,
yeah,
vintagey things. We have different accessories from Lebanon, like the very famous fakhara, the clay, the clay pot. And something very, you know, something to add about that, my mom's dad, my grandfather, used to always drink water from it. And when we're in Shab'a, we always never drink from bottled water. In summer, it would be very hot. And the water you would put in it, the clay would preserve the temperature,
right,
and keep it cool. So if we're sitting in a cold space, the clay preserves, and if it's room temperature water, it takes the cold from around somehow, it puts it in, and the water stays cold throughout the entire day. And it's like 35, I don't know what in Fahrenheit, in Celsius, like 35, 40 degrees Celsius. And you drink like cold, like you drink like cold water and room temperature water.
35 degrees Celsius to Fahrenheit.
Yeah, I think it's like 80.
95.
95, yeah. So we have accessories of Lebanon, like the first store, and we have Lebanese, old Lebanese coins. We have old Lebanese lira, the actual money. We have black and white pictures of old Beirut and old Lebanon back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. So, you know, you come in, you see pictures of, it's very educational towards Lebanon. And you just feel at home when you go in. You really do. Like the colors, you just kind of relax, and Lebanese music. And it's just a full on A to Z Lebanese experience without the food, you know.
That's incredible. Yeah. Wow. I hope you guys want to walk into this store after that description.
Yeah, yeah.
That was incredible.
Yeah.
So the stores are all in the Middle East.
Yeah. So they're presently. In from a country's
perspective. And you have a website.
We have a website which is going to change finally with the help of Do Media and Ramzi. The legend Ramzi, not just Andy Ramzi. The legend Ramzi lives in Miami, in Edgewater. If you don't know about the Ramzi in Miami, you don't know about anything. In the field of Do Media and in media, in the United States of America, if you don't know about Ramzi, you don't know about anything, and you're not working with the right people. If this guy falls in love with you, and he does everything from his heart. That's why this guy is successful. And if he loves your brand, I'm telling you, he's going to take it to Jannah, to the sky, to everywhere. And I really mean this. Like, I've had this, like, well, as soon as I saw him, like...
Because you were apprehensive towards me when you saw me.
Yeah.
Just for the record, he was a hard ass. He's a young CEO, like, that, you know, I'm sure gets pitched all the time, right?
Yep.
And has, like, big conglomerate-esque agencies, the Deloittes of the world, right? Like, the really big companies, like, you know...
Ernst & Young. And
working with you and trying to work with you, right?
Yep.
So you were apprehensive.
Yeah. My first impression, you know, it's like, when it's business related and, you know, it's work related, for the love of, you know, the brand and what my parents have done, I mean, you know, 15 years of my parents working nonstop. And I'm telling you, I'm very grateful. I've been managing the business, you know, and by September, it would be my fourth year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I came in around year 11. And to be honest with you, I was very fortunate enough. I came in, I would say, the good time of the business. You know, the first 10, 11 years of a business are not easy at all. I mean, I'm very grateful. I want to say I got it, you know, on a silver spoon or anything like that. But what was the question, Aslan?
But you're grateful for your parents teeing you up to take this and build the next 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, they did the hard work, you know. They did the hard work. I was, you know, gifting out flyers. Me and my brother were working for illegally below minimum wage in the warehouses back in Kuwait during our summer. We'll never forget that. Like, and I mean, you know, they've done the hard part. And, you know, usually businesses don't really start to take off until, you know, first, second, third, fourth year. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, they're the badasses that created, if you want to talk about me being a badass and when I first, you know, saw you, and they're the badasses that created me, you know, the badasses version of me and my brother. And so when I first met him, I'm like, you know, like, okay, who's this guy? And like, I have like this straight up, like, ask him questions, see if, like, he knows what he's talking about. What do you do? Is he just talking? Is he just bluffing? And, you know, that filtration system. And to be honest with you, like, that's not me, who I really am. I kind of, like, they I have, like, they say I have my mom's, heart, which is, my mom's very, like, nice and caring, and she just always
empathetic.
Gives, yeah. And I have that soft spot. So especially when it comes to people, without people, nothing is possible, whether be it
right.
The people handcrafting this bar of soap to deliver it to you guys, wherever you are. I mean, whether being the salesperson selling you or any person, whether client or in our company, you know, and that works for it. It's all about people. My mom did it for the love of people. She never did it for her own sake or own benefit. She never knew it was going to be this big and a multi-million dollar brand and go this big and this international. She just did it for the people. And my mom always says this, and my mom constantly, like, repeats this throughout the years. My mom, she literally always says this, and I wish she was here. She would have said it herself. She's like,
we wish you were here, Mama. Next time.
Yeah. We have this brand and this company to employ people in this company and to employ people and for them to make a living off of, you know, so what does rizq mean in Arabic? When God gives you something. Like God gave us this brand and it's so successful. And my mom said, we have this brand, we have this company.
Oh.
And we want to go big. We want to go big and open more stores, employ more people for those people to make a living off of this brand, because it's all about the people. You know, whether you're a client using these amazing products my mom carefully made for you guys, or whether, you know, employing people, and these people, they're just not one people. A lot of people rely on the people working, you know, from their children, whether it being their parents, whether it being whoever it may be. People are relying on this job. And my mom's main goal is to keep this brand up and alive and growing and bigger and stronger, to employ more people, just to give back.
So that's where you're emotional. And
that's where, yeah, that's where, like, that's why I get emotional. So yeah. Anything.
Usually, so he was hard in the beginning. And then as soon as he's like, all right, this guy's not bullshitting me, like, we had a real discussion.
Yeah.
And like, we hung out the rest of the day and we got to know each other. And then it just so happened that, and I believe the same thing that your mom is saying, and what you just said, is like, we're a higher power, you know, we are God's vehicles to deliver our skill to, like, change people's lives and their families' lives and then their families' families' lives. Yeah. And so it goes deep. And I share that sentiment very much so.
Yeah.
And that's also who I am as a human, you know? But then, like, dude, we got to know each other and, like, we just hit it off. And it just so happened that the universe timed it where you were in the process of building a new digital identity, really. I wouldn't even call it a website. I would call it a new digital identity.
Yeah.
Because that's truly what we're about to drop.
Yeah. Because my main goal for the last, you know, 4 years was uplifting the brand, keeping its old heritage and identity, and coming up with a new logo, with a new packaging, with a new in-store experience and fit out, which we've thankfully managed to do now. All of our new stores are rolling out with the new fit out. Some of the old ones are getting the new fit out. And we've never been so ready as a brand. And, you know, the world is changing, and everybody says, you know, people don't usually go to malls again, and the whole retail industry is changing and all of that. I don't think so. People want to get in a car, go drive, walk, see other people, eat in a mall, be around people. I mean, yes, we are on our phones 24/7 through these different social platforms with different people. Life is about the tangibility. And what do we sell? We work on all of the senses of, you know, our human senses. We see it. It looks beautiful from a color perspective. Wow, looks nice. Amazing packaging. I love it. I love how it looks, or something. Yeah. Something like that, or something like this with a natural loofah inside of it. Like, look at this. Like, let's take it, make it naked. Like, what is this? This literally looks like some edible piece of soap. Like this is soap. So you look at it, you like it. And then you smell it. You love the different aromas and fragrances. And this is something we have an, you know, advantage, you know, versus our other competitors. And what makes us, you know, very unique and special is that other international brands do not have the same fragrances we have in the Middle East, under the whole category of Oriental fragrances. And Oriental fragrances recently have been very, you know, cool and up and coming. You know, I think back in the Middle East, what's very, you know, famous is misk and oud and amber and, like, just oud. Like, everybody knows oud, and that it's Arabic, and you know, this very strong, you know, exotic
There's
fragrance.
A whole perfume cologne brand called oud.
Called oud, correct.
Right? And I think they're in Times Square. They have a retail store, yeah.
And I mean, the probably the biggest brands, you know, talking about Arabic brands, going international, being international, are fragrance brands based. Those are the most successful in Middle East.
It's like Huda Beauty.
Huda Beauty, her sister, Kayali.
Oh, Kayali.
Kayali, her sister.
But Huda Beauty is a great brand.
Yeah, it is. It's makeup. It really is. And then, so, you know, fragrances, I think from a region perspective, Middle Easterns are number one in buying fragrances. We just love fragrances.
So true.
And we always
You're saying the actual senses. That was such a powerful comment, by the way. Like, yeah. Wow. That was clip that one.
The what?
That you sell products for the human senses.
Yeah.
Like that's a, keep it PG. Yeah. That is a powerful statement.
You can't smell it through your phone. You can see it, right. You can't smell it.
Right.
Can you touch it through your phone? No, you can't. So that's our third human sense. Four, I mean, you hear about it, to be honest with you. From a marketing perspective, the department even, or strategy for the brand, we've been around for 15 years. And if I want to tell you, we don't have a marketing department. We don't have a marketing executive, and we barely spend any money on marketing. When you want to come to look at something that has been around for the last 15 years and has been successful to open 50 stores in, so the countries being Kuwait, UAE, Oman, Qatar, Lebanon, these five countries occupy a population in between all of them, not more than, I would say, 17, 18 million off the top of my head. We have 50 locations in five countries worth in 17 to 18 million people living in it.
That's like a big state in America.
And we still haven't opened in the biggest region, the biggest country in the Middle East, KSA, with 30 million people. It is the biggest market, you know, which hopefully we're going to open very soon in. People have gotten
KSA,
like,
is the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia.
Yes. And hopefully we're going to be opening very soon. And that, just that market alone will be a game changer for the brand. And I mean, you know, 50 stores in five countries, with seven, we're just selling catering retail wise, 17 million people. And opening now in KSA, Brazil, and the States at the same time. I mean, 300 million in the States, 30 million Saudis that already know the brand are like, no joke, DMing like gonna kill us. When are you guys gonna open? For the last 6-7 years, like nonstop. And then Brazil, you know, having a big population of Lebanese people in Brazil, and you know, Brazil's ranked top three in the top three country on biggest spenders for beauty products. Brazil is like ranked second, if I'm not mistaken, but it's ranked top three globally. So that's another very big market. And then, like I said, you know, the five senses, going back to about the whole marketing thing. To be honest with you, the reason why it works is the formula to success. My mom did something from her heart, not taking anything into perspective other than she wants to do it because she loves it. And she just wants to give people what she knows how to do. And she didn't do it for the money. She does not care about, she probably doesn't even know, like, how much we sell. Like, she doesn't know the valuation of the brand. She just doesn't care. Like, literally doesn't care. Like, and the formula to success is do something from your heart, passionate, and to give back to people, because it's all about giving. It's not about taking and not giving back. It's a circle of life. What goes one way comes the other way. And she did that from her heart, and simply people, word of mouth, because of, and I'm telling you, she puts the percentages of fragrances she puts in here. I mean, try it, smell the soap. You'll never smell a soap with that much amount of fragrance in it. You'll never use a body sugar scrub with that strong of an, or, I mean, the percentages, the, you know, formulation wise, the percentages are off the charts, not normal. They are expensive. They are expensive. And not just from a fragrance perspective, she really just simply focused on putting natural ingredients in these products. And because of the natural ingredients, and because of how beautiful her fragrances are, the same way her soul is beautiful, they're replicated in how beautiful the different fragrances are. And And because of, you know, the ingredients, the fragrance, you have this amazing product where just people, word of mouth. And I mean, if you want to look back in the most, you know, successful marketing strategies or you know, how you want to take a brand, go crazy, word of mouth.
It's the people that refer it. It's the word of mouth. That's how any big brand that we work with started. Marketing is an afterthought, actually. And that's actually a good learning lesson for entrepreneurs as well. Is like most of the time, like the creative genius, who's your mom in this scenario, and your dad, but your mom clearly had the vibe and the vision to like come up with and invent tanning oil with black tea, which we used this weekend, which was spectacular. Sorry, that bottle's like a little actually like empty from the top. But yeah, that's literally what it is. It's like, I actually say this to new entrepreneurs all the time. It's like you put 95% of your budget and your emphasis on your product, and then you're like, how do I sell it? Because there's you, if you care that much, whether you're building a software, a website, a consumer packaged goods brand, an apparel brand, whatever it is, it's the afterthought. But if you truly just hone in on the best ingredients and the best product in this case, and the best brand, then it'll sell itself. And that is a very interesting lesson that I think a lot of people, you know, undervalue, especially in today's digital environment where people consume so much. So I guess with that being said, that may be a good segue. Like now that you are at the maturity level of, you know, 15-ish years, like is sales and marketing like more of a thought? And how do you and me, this is really a we question, maintain that word of mouth, right?
For sure.
Maintain that like an essence of virality.
Yeah. I mean, eventually, you know, when you wanna go global and play with the big dogs, you have to, you know, kind of we need to do marketing and marketing, you know, has changed over the last couple of years.
Right.
You know, post COVID and also before COVID, the world is a digital world where we live in now. I mean, you know, I always say retail is dying, but no phone, no device, no laptop is going to sell you the experiential experience you get in a mall. And that's why, you know, most of the malls want to have us in, because
even in America, they're courting you right now.
Yes. Yes. We're opening, hopefully we're going to sign off our first lease. It's the hint I'm going to give is it's going to be in the state of Florida. And then I think, you know, our first store is going to be there. I'm a firm believer it's going to take off. You know, our unique selling point is just some things nobody has what we have, from the natural of it, ingredients we use, the fragrances. I mean, the oriental fragrance, I mean, Ramzi has, you know, has been smelling these different fragrances and aromas, and tell them what people like about how you smell and the different fragrances.
I like sit down at a dinner or a meeting and they're like, what are you wearing right now? Like even the body, I didn't even know body sugar scrubs. Obviously I've seen them before, but I've never like used them, but like in the shower, like use that product. And there's different like ones, right? You can have a stronger one. You can have a more neutral, balanced one. Like I like I like oud. I like lemon and ginger. I like the orange one. What is that's
mango?
The mango,
mango
one. That
mango.
One's done. I need like five more of those. But not, it's not just me. Like I'm a male, you know? And you know, this product is suited for everyone, right? We're neutral, here. We're open to everyone. But you know, traditionally this skews female. And so it's just cool to see it and like, and really experience it and touch it. And so we hope that we were able to disseminate that message through the digital identity that we've developed here. And then the marketing efforts that are ensuing right now.
Yeah. I mean, with digital, you know, we're taking it up a level. The majority of you know, the majority of, you know, how we sell is through our retail stores.
Right.
And getting that sharing with our clients, the same retail experience digitally is not an easy, it's not very easy. And thankfully, you know, with Ramzi and Do Media's team, I mean, I've seen the website, you know, we're still not launched, but I mean, it really, you know, as soon as you see it, it's just this very fresh Middle Eastern. And then, you know, it just looks like a house. It looks very homey and comfortable. And you know, having that on digitally is, I mean, we're talking about like something totally different, you know, a retail store to a website that's on a small screen. Like, what are you going to do to do? Like, cause you know, everything physically is very different. How are you going to replicate the smell of mango on a website? You know, it's not easy. And this transformation needs to happen. And the reason for that, you know, reaching the bigger masses, cause you know, only so many people, you know, visit malls, you know, not, you know, people don't visit malls as often. They definitely visit malls, you know, for shopping sprees or outlets and certain discounts. But eventually when somebody gets hooked onto a product, I think, you know, I think this is the whole digital transformation is I know a product. I don't want to like go and have to like drive and park and walk and go to the store and like, sometimes people just don't want to like deal with people. And just 2 minutes, I order it. 2-3 days, I get it shipped. And I think it's, you know, after sales of it, you know, we have our clients. We want to, you know,
retain them.
Yeah.
We want to nurture them and we want to support them, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, beauty-esque brands, not as many, you know, not like large, like soap brands. Yes, there are. We all know, you know, a lot of them. But like, I just think that there's a time and a place and you are positioned at the time and the place to like evolve your company. And that's why I believe so fervently in, you know, digital transformation. Like everyone's like, oh, you run like a marketing agency or like, it's really not. Like I digitally transform things. Like our team digitally transformed things just from the design to the story. Like before we even, you know, started designing pixels in Photoshop and Figma, like there was a lot of like research and knowledge transfer and Googling and studying all your curriculum and your trade show banners and what you hand out in the stores and like those, all those digital like PDFs and flyers and all that. Like we had to like galvanize all of that, curate it, sift through it, like really compartmentalize it, like take elements from it and articulate that and disseminate that in a digital identity. And now we're really excited to do that through digital advertising and retention and email and SMS marketing. But like you said, like the evolution of marketing is ever changing. It used to be more traditional, right? TV, billboards,
newspaper,
magazines,
word of mouth,
trade shows,
yeah.
Word of mouth. But now you can disseminate that message to
half of it's digital. Yeah. Half of any big company brand, 50% of their budget is going digital. And if they're not doing that, they're way behind, they're not on track, they're not doing the right thing. I mean, you know, and like you get so many people and just opening, oh, I have a media agency and I build a website. Best. This guy right here has been like, he did it since day one. How old were you when you first did your,
I think 18.
18. He did his first website for 18. I don't know, sold it, made a couple of million and this guy's been doing it for the last 15, 14 years.
Yeah, something like that. But it's all not success. Built, succeeded, failed, succeeded, failed, succeeded, succeeded, succeeded. That's how it works, you know? I'm sure your parents went through that, you know, epiphany and like refinement multiple times, and nothing, you don't usually strike it on the first time, but like, yeah, I think what you're saying is like, you just, if you care, like as a business owner, if you care about your like partners, I don't call them clients because they're not clients to me. A client is interchangeable. A partner is someone that you hope to build a long-term, you know, relationship based on trust and results.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just, it's exciting that you're like, you want to invest in this area and you want to like transform your company because you see the shift in the evolution. Even e-commerce and online is hybrid to retail. So we're even discussing ways to buy on the website and pick up in the store. Like there's so many iterations and evolutions that we're already like foreshadowing that it's now become an omni-channel experience, right? You have retail stores, you have some wholesale, you have Amazon, you have your own direct-to-consumer website, you have sub-sites in different countries, and an American version of that website. And so, like, I think by the time this releases, like, what you're going to see here on houseofsoap.com and Bet El Sabon and the sub-sites thereafter, like, is a meticulous process. And it's going to support the retail outlets and vice versa. They're going to share each other. Correct. We're going to take the retailer and then make them an e-commerce customer. We're going to take the e-commerce customer and we're going to make them a retail customer. And we're going to evolve and we're going to build this omni-channel, you know, symphony of efficiency and synchronicity across all channels and all platforms. And that is what excites me.
Synergy, House of Soap or Dome Media? Yeah.
How has social media changed it? Like, seriously, because like you guys didn't have Instagram when you bought, like, look at the Instagram account. Pop that pop tag up right now. TikTok, Instagram, you know, all of it.
Our account during COVID had something like 200K. Wasn't the best of a, you know, looking, you know, managed accounts. And some guy from Turkey, like, took it, put his name in, he hacked the account for some reason. And then, so we started with a new account. It's been like 2 or 3 years with the new account. We're at like 75K pure organic, you know, followers. And to be honest with you, when we want to talk about the beauty industry and a lot of, not just the beauty industry, new brands, and thanks to, you know, e-commerce makes life way easier for those newcomers. My parents had to pay a lot of money to open a store and pay for fit out and all of that stuff. If I and the for all of these, you know, younger people,
and it's not cheap to open up a store.
Yeah,
to get a lease, to build it out.
Yeah,
to do all. It's not cheap, actually. If you compare. Because we manage probably over 300 doors now in terms of stores for various companies. And, you know, whether it's a F&B concept, an all-day cafe like Pura Vida in Miami, Pure Green, like the juice wellness franchise here. It's the fastest growing one. Like, same, but different.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not cheap to build out a store
for sure,
relative to the modern like e-commerce, which also isn't like inexpensive, but if you like go out, if you compare apples to apples, like, right?
Look, I mean, anybody starting off, you know, young one and is starting off, you know, you have all the tools available, and you know, life is easier now with the whole this shift in, you know, e-commerce and website. I mean, worst case scenario, like, what is a website going to cost you? It can cost you anywhere from $5,000 to, let's say, $500,000. You can start off with a, and the forefront and in the foreface of marketing nowadays and how brands, you know, have their identity and the brand is a brand. It's pretty simple. Your Instagram account, whether I'll give you an example. Our family friend, Lilia Abdo, for example, back in Lebanon, she just, opened a TikTok account and Instagram, and she's, people, they love her and they follow her on her social media accounts, whether TikTok or Instagram, and they just follow her, and she has a following of people, and people love her for who she is. And she just recently opened her new jewelry brand, and she is the brand. She's the brand owner. She's everything. She's the entire brand, and she did it very easily. She, and if it without what, forget having a website or the $5,000. If you have an Instagram account or even let's say on WhatsApp, you can literally start off with that and build your brand. And what is it going to cost you? $1,000 for the first order. And if you have your followers and your Instagram looks good and your TikTok looks good, and there's something really special behind this brand and people love it and like it and they buy it and they go back, and that's all it takes. And you don't have that without this new transformation of websites. We'd have never had that 10, 15 years ago.
Right.
And it was very limiting back then, and now you guys have it in you. It's there. It's just there for the grabbing, Dreaming is for free. It's for free.
Yeah.
Just dream. And any $1,000, you can buy a couple of.
Execution is not free in terms of your time and your energy, right?
Yeah.
It's cliche, right? People have ideas,
yeah, but why are you doing it? You're giving your time
right.
and your effort for what? To give back to who? To the people. I
Yeah.
mean,
100%.
and this is actually, how I started in the brand, and I kind of like proved my point, yeah, I'm not the son of the owner now. Like I did something. When COVID hit, we didn't have a website.
Yeah,
We
I
had
wish we met during
a,
COVID.
yeah.
I wish we met during COVID.
We had an Instagram account and one WhatsApp. Oh, we didn't have a WhatsApp number. COVID hit, stores closed down. We had it was me, and we opened a small showroom in our factory in Lebanon, and there was two sales staff. And then we I put a I got a WhatsApp number.
Yeah.
I put it on Instagram, and for orders, contact this WhatsApp, or they'd usually DM us on Instagram, take their orders. We do like manual invoices, and then from the manual invoice, we would put it on an Excel, email the different warehouses in the different countries that Excel, and they would create the airway bill of the address, and pick and pack the products and ship them out. And then COVID hit, lockdown. We went from one phone to four phones. Each phone, I'm not joking, each phone had a minimum of 300 conversations that have not been opened.
Wow.
So on standby, we had around 1,300 people just waiting for us to reply and, get into conversation. We didn't even have a, at like 2, 3 months later, we got this PDF where we would send, oh, hey, these are the products you can pick from. It would literally be like screenshots from Instagram, previous pictures, or I want this, like she knows her order.
Yeah.
And then I managed to, like, it was lockdown. Nobody like wanted to leave the house. Everybody was scared from COVID. No, nobody wanted to leave and get caught and all of that stuff. So we couldn't kind of employ anybody.
Right.
And so what we did was I called all my friends up, like no joke, called them all up. Hey, you want to work? And like, we're going to pay this much per hour, and this is the job. And we didn't have an office in Beirut at the time. It was just a factory, which was 45 minutes away from Beirut. And so I was in Beirut, I can't drive back and forth because like to Saida every day. So like we literally like our dining table, we got laptops, manual invoices, and then the four phones and my friends. And I kind of, my dad, like, you know, like, cause it was lockdown. My dad was sitting in the, like in the city living room in
salon.
A salon. And then my mom every day would do like lunch for us. Cause you know, like they're my friends and all of that. And we stayed like that for like a good 4 months. And just in 8 months, through four WhatsApp phones, no website. And then like after 2-3 months, we had this, you know, PDF of like all the different products, screenshot, whatever you want. We managed to sell off, you know, in the estimates of $2.8 to $3 million in 7 or 8 months.
Off four phones.
Four phones. And we weren't like, we were like.
And you were behind all the time.
We were behind and we lacked manpower. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, it was like my cousin, like Badr, my cousin, Ra'ed, one of my best friends, which is going to help us open this, you know, he's going to be handling this retail here in the States. Ra'ed's brother, Osama, my other friend, Athman. And I dragged his brother into it. I'm like, get your brother. And like, I literally like just anybody at the time. So yeah, it was, that was like my first like big accomplishment in the company.
Cause you just like adapted in real time.
Yeah. It was just, you know, very street, like, you know,
yeah.
And yeah.
And now we're going to have a website, but my God, if you did that, 2.8 to 3-ish million.
In seven months,
four phones, a handful of human beings.
We were like seven or eight guys, yeah.
Wow. And you were delivering it.
Yeah. We would send an email Excel to the warehouses.
Yeah.
And then,
imagine if you had a website. Imagine if we launched what we're about, like what is launched at this point.
I mean, that talks about the potential about the brand, to be honest with you.
Ali looked at me this weekend on my birthday. He said, what are we doing, Ramsey? What are we doing? I said, you're going to see. Time will tell, A, because, you know, nothing happens overnight, especially on a new launch. But I think we have very high aspirations, both of us, for the opportunity and the potential. And yeah, it's just like, it's those stories that pump me the fuck up, honestly. Like those stories pump me up. Like four phones, 3 mil, 7 months. Like, what are you doing right now? Like, why are you watching this? Get off your ass and do something. Like, that's crazy.
I know. And it's never been so easy with the, you know, with websites. Come on, like dropshipper and like all of that stuff. Yeah. Like, it's real, guys. Like, it is really as simple and real. And just find something you really love and go ahead.
What would you, one more lesson. And I know we're on time. Okay, we still got a little bit. That's okay. So what would you say to someone that is, let's say they have like a five or a $10 million business and they want to grow and they want, maybe they want to open more retail stores or grow their online presence or like what is like a, if you had one or two like core lessons to be like, disciplined to do it and do it profitably. What is that?
Ask yourself, why are you doing it? That's a number one question to ask. Why am I waking up every single day to work nonstop and like an animal and going crazy and having one meal in a day and nonstop? Why on earth am I doing this? If there's no purpose behind it, just stay on your phone. Like,
or stay employed or do whatever.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Why?
That's okay.
You have to have a purpose.
Right.
Purpose in life. Purpose for your job. Purpose. Without purpose, we're just living organisms, just walking and eating and, you know, eat, sleep, drink, repeat. Like why are we living? You know? And do something, you know. Yalla. Yalla.
That's awesome.
You have to have it in you. There has to be a purpose, but to be honest with you, be an animal, be crazy, be an animal, but at the same time, take the right decisions with your brain, not with your heart. when you want to do something, do it with your heart, but take the right decisions using your brain. Never, and be careful of this and overstepping. Never, ever take a decision based out of your heart or your emotions. Most of the time, if you want to look back in, you know, your personal life or in history, all of the bad decisions you've taken in your life were purely emotional decisions and not cognitive decisions. The purpose, it all starts from here, purpose-wise. And then once you synergize these two guys, then you have Eureka.
That's awesome. What an answer. Just a couple more questions, and then I have a couple like things to close out.
Mm.
Like you said in reference, like your mom and you and your dad, like you did it to employ people and like help their families. And even me, like I am benefiting as a service provider and soon to be, you know, more, hopefully. But at the end of the day, like I'm a service provider that like has been hired by you, right? So even me, like you're helping me employ people, right? And so like the domino effect is vast at scale. So like, how many people do you guys like employ? Is there different seasons where you employ more people from factory to like retailers? Because I feel like you built a pretty lean organization as well.
The more stores, the more people. Unfortunately, I mean, with e-commerce, there's a lot less more manpower with it. Not maybe from the, you know, the marketing side of it. And what's so beautiful, you know, about House of Soap Lebanon is that it's handmade. Like nothing is going to replace a human hand waking up in beautiful Lebanon in the morning, going to work, getting a batch of natural lavender soap or olive oil soap or laurel soap being made and you handcrafting it and doing this beautiful piece of art that smells and looks very edible and delicious, and knowing that this will be shipped to some corner on the earth and somebody is going to use it in their home. They're going to bring this thing in their home. So from our home in Lebanon to your home, you're going to take this, go into your shower, you're going to use it, and you're going to be like, wow, this is amazing. This Lebanese soap made in Lebanon by some Lebanese person living in Lebanon smells amazing. I feel amazing and I love it. Voila.
Wow.
I'm saying all of this comes from my heart.
I know, I could see it. You're really heating up.
Yani, there's no like sketch or there's no like, this is real as it gets, yani.
With that being said, Ali, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really respect you. I respect your family. And I'm really excited to disseminate and articulate your mission and your ethos to the world. It's going to be fun.
Thank you very much. It's the first time I do like a podcast or anything related. And thank you, you know, for having me come here and do this. I really believe, you know, meeting people like you is very rare. I'm very grateful, and I know for a reason God made you get in your car 3-4 hours wearing his shorts to go to this random beauty exhibition, and it's a big exhibition, and he just randomly walks and shows up, and we both meet. And I'm telling you, we both met, and we want to talk about partners, not partners, like brothers. I'm telling you from a partner's perspective, like we're going to do stuff. Like we both do it from our hearts. And when we have an amazing product, and he's the guru of websites and selling anything on websites, I mean, just try to catch up with us, whoever you may be. Competition of Dome Media, competition of House of Soul, We're not coming for you. We are already there and we've surpassed you. You guys are in the rear view camera of us. There's a reason why the rear view, the mirror in the back is smaller than the front windshield. The front windshield is bigger for a reason. And it's bigger because us two are coming and we're going to kill anything and everything in front of us.
Oh, and with that, you heard it here first. Bet El Sabon, houseofsoap.com is live. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right. Wait, keep it. We're good? Okay. You said a couple lines in here that I need you to fucking rip right now. You grabbed it. You said, this is the world's best body sugar scrub. Make an ad out of it. Just like, I need to purposely clip a few things right now. So say that, huh? All right, cool. So this is the best world body sugar scrub, and maybe highlight a couple of the different collections and like say that about a couple of things. Natural ingredients from the earth, this and that. Eloquently, though. Okay. Sounds good.
Hello? You drink tea, right? And it's usually either black tea, ginger tea. Huh? We have it for you right here. Black tea tanning oil. Have you heard of it in the past? No, you haven't. It's a tanning oil. Usually it's carrot. And I don't know what, we're done with that carrot stuff. This is made from black tea tanning oil. And this is going to make you tan more than any tan have you ever used. Number one. Two, world's best body sugar scrub. I'll just tell you the four main ingredients of oils we use right here. We use argan oil. We use olive oil, we use sweet almond oil, and we use, ya tawil al umar, what else do we use? We use castor oil. The sugar crystals here are bigger than any sugar you've like seen in your life. It's a like legit crystal from like dinosaur age. I'm not even joking. You take it, you put it on your hand, on your body. You scrub that thing, the sugar crystals will remove all that dead skin and all the dirt that has been on you. But if you push really hard, if you've never scrubbed, using our scrub, you're gonna see black stuff coming out. And that's when you know that you're deep exfoliating and you're removing the dead skin cells and all of the dirt from your body. Not only that, the vast amounts of oil we use in this thing will all seep into your skin. You will, no joke, smell amazing and feel the oil after your shower. When you rinse it off with water, it will not be rinsed off. It will still be there for the next 12 hours after your shower and you will smell amazing. Soap, what does this look like? Ice cream, what does this look like to you?
It looks delicious.
It looks delicious, huh? It looks like ice cream. Habibi, it's not ice cream, Habibi, this is soap. This is not from anywhere. This is soap from Lebanon. If you don't know about Lebanon, you don't know about anything in the world. This is Lebanese soap, handmade by a Lebanese person in Lebanon. Voila.
And what's inside of that? Oh, there's a loofah.
Inside of it, it's a secret. It's a secret that you will never feel until you buy it and you use it. Inside of it is a natural loofah. The plant, so the natural loofah plant, we cut it. And inside of it, when you first use it, As soon as you use it with water, it will start to melt, and then the natural loofah will start to emerge like it's coming out of the ground, and it is, from out of the ground. It's a natural loofah. It's grown, and then you start to see it, and then you use it. It's a 2-in-1. It's a natural loofah, and it's a soap. It smells good. You smell good. You feel good. You look good.
I love that. Now say one thing about the senses and how like House of Soap caters to all your senses, from soap to body scrubs to tanning oils to lotions to shampoos.
Yeah. So usually when you like a fragrance, like what do you use fragrance wise?
I use a variety of ones.
Like, oh, just give me one.
I use one that I helped bring to market actually right now.
Yeah.
I use like cool. I've used Davidoff Cool Water. I've used Carolyn Herrera, the Carolyn Herrera one. I love that one.
You, Ramzi, loves the perfume Carolina Herrera. It's probably what, like $100 bottle, right?
I think more.
More than $100, and it's a fragrance. You get to use it when on your way out of the house, you get to use it, and you spray, right?
Yeah.
What we offer is, first of all, you have 100 different fragrances to pick from.
Right.
Whether fresh or gentle, woody, whatever the fragrance, we have it. Now, when you like a fragrance, you know, you like it for good. What advantage we have is that, what's so nice about it is that you like a fragrance, oh, hey, Ramzi, I'm going to give you this fragrance in anything you want, in any form. Now, Ramzi just came back from his Mimi hot yoga session, and he's all sweaty. He wants to take a shower. He's all sweaty. He goes back home. He starts off with a body sugar scrub, which is his favorite Carolina Herrera. Let's say in his case, he loves the mango fragrance. He does the body sugar scrub. You finish that off, you put on the shower gel. And after that, you have the option of using the soap version of it, whether the natural loofah or whether the Belady soap. Either or, you have the option too. You finish from your shower. As soon as you come out, you're ready, you know, the oil has already seeped in to your body. You already smell good. If you want more, we sell it in a body mist form. So you want a body mist of it, we have a body mist from it. We also have where's the dry oil? We have a scented dry oil. And what it is it's an oil. So after the shower, you know, to maintain healthy skin, you want to nourish your skin with you know, various oils. And what we do is that we offer that with the same fragrance that Ramzi loves, the mango. And then it's a dry oil. As soon as you put it, you rub it onto your hands and it instant, like within a couple of seconds, it becomes dry. It goes into your skin, nourishes your skin with the oil. You smell, the smell is there because, you know, most of essential fragrances are oil based. So we use a lot of oil in our products, a lot of oil. In almost every type of oil, like there is, we use it. And then, so like you've used the body sugar scrub, the shower gel, the soap, you've used the body mist, you use the shower oil, and we also have hairspray of it. You want to smell like mango? You'll smell like mango from head to toe, even after you went to a yoga session and you sweated for an hour. No joke.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to smell like all that mango, but I definitely like the smell, and I can attest to it. And everyone that I've given this product to, which is probably like at least 50 people at this point, like swear by it. So we're excited to get it in your hands.
Yeah.
One more. I want you to say that again. What? Just, this is the world's best body sugar scrub at houseofsoap.com. It comes in like, How many variants do we have?
50.
But I want when you say, this is the world's best body sugar scrub. Talla al kamara.
Ya Allah. This is the world's best body sugar scrubs. We don't only have one, two, or three different fragrances from it. We have 50 different fragrances from this body sugar scrub. And I'm telling you, give it a try. This is the best. This is the best you'll find. End of discussion. Full stop. Done.
Good.
Khalas.
Yeah, khalas. That was good. I like that. That was strong, man.